Obviously, all y'all did. But the point is that it's poking fun at the education system, right? And it's not that learning about parallelograms is completely useless. There can be value in that if you're going to grow up to be an engineer, I guess. But we would recognize that the ability to do your taxes would be a relatively universal need amongst our culture, no matter how much we may wish it wasn't. We know that it is. The best advice I can give on doing your taxes is hire a CPA that knows what they're doing. It's about the best advice I can give these days. But that joke is there to poke fun at the educational system, that the educational system, while it is teaching us stuff, is not what is most valuable. And so, young people, are you upset that you're not learning how to do your taxes in middle school and high school? Well, you probably aren't at that age, but when you get older, you might look back with a little bit of disappointment, like some of us who have been out of school for several years, right? And we kind of wish that school did a better job of teaching us some of those valuable lessons for life that we would definitely need. Jesus speaks to this in a very profound way, The principle that we're talking about of useful information versus useless information, or I could just say not as useful information, right? Parallelograms isn't necessarily useless. It's just not as useful as knowing how to do your taxes. But Jesus certainly speaks to this principle in Mark chapter 8 in verse 36 with a little bit of a different twist. In Mark chapter 8 in verse 36, Jesus says, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" What's the value of everything if you've given up your soul for it? What's the value of having everything if your soul does not have Jesus, if your soul does not have salvation? And so what Jesus is doing there, it's not a meme and it's not a comic, it's a very profound truth, isn't it? Is that we need to be mindful. We need to give attention to that which is most important. That which is most valuable. This morning we're going to consider that from three different perspectives, if you will. The first perspective that we're going to consider is from a child's perspective, from children. And when I say children, I think probably the youngest kid we have here would be my daughter Kadri, about her age, I guess. And so I'm talking all the way from Kadri on up to, we'll just say Andrew. He's really an adult, but we're going to throw him in there as a kid anyway. So we'll say anywhere between the age of 4 to 20, I'm talking to all of you young people, right? And what I want to ask of the young people this morning is I want you to do me a favor. I want you throughout all of your childhood, no matter where you are, Kadri, you're going to hold me accountable for this, okay? All right, so Kadri, all the way up to Andrew, everybody in between, wherever you are, I want you to have this focus in your life, and that is to make your parents study the Bible. That's what I want you to do. Make your parents study the Bible. And how are you going to do that as kids? How are you going to do that as young people? Make your parents study the Bible. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to ask them Bible questions. That's what you're going to do. And whenever you ask them Bible questions, do not accept the answer of, well, that's just how we've always done it in the church. And do not accept the answer of, well, we'll talk about that with the preacher when you're 20 years older than however old you are right now, right? Pester them like you would for a popsicle for a Bible answer to a Bible question, and it will force your parents to study the Bible. And why is that valuable for you as a child? Because forcing your parents to study the Bible and give you Bible answers to Bible questions will be instilling within you the most valuable and important thing in your entire life, and that is the knowledge of God. Your parents can teach you a lot of wonderful life lessons. But there is no more wonderful life lesson they can teach you than knowing God. and having a relationship with God. And the only way that they can do that, to teach you that, is if they know that and if they have that themselves. That's the only way that they can share that with you and teach that to you. And so that's my appeal to all of you as young people. Make your parents study the Bible. Tony alluded to this morning in our Bible class. If you would turn your attention to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Here, the backdrop in Exodus chapter 12 is that God was giving the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the Feast of the Passover, and he's explaining that. Moses is explaining that to the people of God. And it says here in Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 24, "And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. And it will come about when you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, that you shall observe this rite." He's talking to all the people. "You shall observe this rite. And it shall come about when your children will say to you, 'What does this rite mean to you?' that you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians but spared our homes.' And the people bowed low and worshiped." Now, there's a lot more to the answer than that, isn't there? That's just sort of the overview answer. But it is the answer. It's the Bible answer to the Bible question, if you will. And we see here that God is communicating that when you as parents are doing the things that you're supposed to be doing, when you are doing the commands of the Lord, here the command was for them to observe this rite. When you do that, your children are going to naturally ask you questions. And we as parents know our children are fond of asking us questions. They're also very fond of asking us inappropriate questions, aren't they? So we know children are very inquisitive and children want to know answers. And part of us living the religion of Christianity, being disciples of Jesus Christ, means our children are going to ask us questions. And as we see from this example in the Old Testament, we should be prepared with an answer. The generation that is not prepared with an answer is the generation that will influence the next generation to rise up that does not know the Lord, as we read about in the book of Judges. We see that in the Scriptures, this has always been an attribute of God's people. Go back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 18. When here we see the righteousness of Abraham is being spoken of. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham had received the promises, that is, God had given the promises in chapter 12 to Abraham and was going to fulfill them through his lineage. We see here in verse 19, it says, "For I have chosen him," that is Abraham. Why? Why was Abraham chosen? "In order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." Abraham was chosen. Why? Because Abraham would be faithful in teaching his children the most important, valuable lesson of life: to know the Lord. Was Abraham going to teach his children how to hunt? Maybe. Was he going to teach his children how to fish? Maybe. Was he going to teach his children how to pitch a tent and have shelter? Maybe. Was Abraham going to teach his kids how to shepherd a flock? Maybe. Was he going to teach his kids how to farm? Maybe. Was he going to teach his kids how to read and write and do arithmetic? Maybe. But what was the most important? What was the most valuable thing that Abraham could ever give to his children? More than all the worldly knowledge, more than all of the wealth that he would attain, he would go on to be a very wealthy man, in light of all the might that he attained and the fame that he attained, what's the most valuable thing he could give his children? It's to know the Lord. That's it. Everything else comes after that. That's number one. There is no other number one. That is number one, to know the Lord. Children, Children, I'm talking to you. All you kids out there. Make your parents study the Bible by asking them Bible questions. Make them give you the most important, valuable thing in your life, which is faith in God, to know the Lord. Is that an easy thing? No. Is it always an easy thing to teach our kids? No. Is it always an easy thing for us to have the answers? No, it's not. Is it easier to punt that responsibility to the preacher? Sure it is. People may not know what punt is, so let me say it this way. Is it easier to pass on that responsibility to the preacher? Sure it is, but it's not scriptural. Is it easier to pass on that responsibility to the quote-unquote youth ministers that are out there today? Well, sure, but it's not their responsibility. Is it easier to pass that duty or that responsibility on to the church? Sure it is. But it's not the church's job to raise your kids in the Lord. That's parents' job. And so kids, you have every right to hold your parents accountable to fulfilling their responsibility in raising you in the Lord. You do so with honor. You do so with respect. I'm not ever saying disrespect your parents or dishonor your parents. Never do that. But you have every right as children to hold your parents accountable for teaching you the Lord. We looked in Bible class this morning at Psalm 78. If you would turn there and give attention to that passage in Psalm 78. In Psalm 78, this is a psalm written to the Jews about a lot of their history. And it says in verse 5, and we read this section in class, but I know not everybody's able to be there. In verse 5, it says, "For he established a testimony in Jacob," that's the nation of Israel, as it says, "and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children." So it wasn't just the one thing of the Passover they were supposed to teach their kids, right? It was the whole law is what they were supposed to be teaching their children. And in so doing, they would come to know the Lord. Verse 6, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born. So it wasn't just for that generation, it was supposed to continue to be passed down, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. How would they do all of those things if they didn't know who the Lord was, if they didn't know who God was? They would know God by the generation teaching the next generation the commands of God and the works of God. By that manner, they would come to know God, just as the parallel to us this day is the way that our children come to know the Lord as we teach them the commandments of the Lord. We teach them the commandments of the gospel. We teach them the ways of the gospel. We teach them the teachings of Jesus Christ and of His apostles and prophets. And so same principle applying to us today. Verse 8, "And not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to God." Did the generations of the Israelites pass on wealth? They did. Did the generations of the Israelites pass along flocks and herds and farms? They did. Did they pass along houses and modes of transportation back in that day? What, a horse, a donkey, a camel, right? They didn't have cars back then. But yes, they did. They passed along those things. Did they pass along knowledge? Well, they did pass along a lot of knowledge. But one of the greatest recurring failures of the Israelites throughout history was passing on the knowledge of God. Let's learn from their mistake, not make that same mistake, and do the best we can to instill within the next generation a spirit that is faithful to God, because it's a generation that knows God. And so that's the first group that I want to talk to, is the children. When you get older, are you going to be upset perhaps that you didn't learn how to do your taxes in school? Well, Maybe you will. But you'll be a lot more upset if you have to stand before God in judgment on the judgment day, realizing your parents didn't teach you to know the Lord. Sometimes it's the children that have to teach the parents what the most important thing in life is. Shouldn't be that way, but sometimes it has to be that way. And I'm thankful to have witnessed that so many times throughout my life already, where the children taught the parents what the most important thing in life is. And so next, let me talk to the adults. I know I was halfway talking to the adults in all that time, right? But let me talk directly to the adults. Whatever your history may be, whatever type of household you may have been raised in, however great a job or poor a job your parents may have done in teaching you to know the Lord. At this point in time in your life, the past is the past. You are responsible for where you are. You are responsible for what your knowledge is. You are responsible for what your knowledge will be tomorrow and what it will be next week and what it will be next year, Lord willing. As an adult, who would you blame for not knowing the Lord? Not knowing His commands, not knowing His ways. Who would you blame? We certainly recognize as adults the responsibility would fall upon ourselves, wouldn't it? And as adults, may I encourage us all, I include myself in that, may I encourage us all to not lose sight of what is most important, and that is knowing the Lord. When you're 20 years old, you don't know everything there is to know about the Lord. And guess what? When you're 30, you still don't know everything there is to know about the Lord. And guess what? It doesn't change whether you're in your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, your 80s. We even have people here today in their 90s. Then we confess to you, they don't know everything about the Lord, that there's always room to grow. There's always room to mature. And I can attest to this already at my age, and I know those older than me would attest to it as well. There are things that you know that you forget and that you need to be reminded of again. But if we lose sight of that which is most important, knowing the Lord, then we won't continue to be grounded in the faith, and we won't be able to pass that knowledge along. We won't possess that which is most important in our life, and certainly won't be able to pass that on to the next generation as well. Listen, there's a lot of wonderful things that we can learn in this life. There's a lot of cool things. Joshua's kind of been learning some card tricks, you know, some magic tricks. Those are pretty fun. Those are interesting. Those are entertaining. There's a lot of information we can learn. I mean, really, when you think of the area, the era, the age that we live in today, it's often been called the information age. Have you ever referred to it as that, the information age? I think you could also refer to it as the useless. There's a lot of useless information out there. How many people as adults, let's talk to the guys. Guys, how many guys are there out there who could tell you every position player on a baseball team but could not name the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ? How many guys could list off a list of 100 comedies, movies that they have shown, that they have loved throughout their life, that they've seen throughout their life, that they enjoyed throughout their life, a list of 100 different comedies that they have watched, movies, and list the lead role, the lead character, the lead actor or actress in them, but couldn't list the 66 books of the Bible. Maybe didn't even know there were 66 books in the Bible. And we know so much about things that while it may be cool that we know that, or maybe fun that we know that, or maybe entertaining that we know that, when it really all comes down to it, is it useful information? Is it more useful than the gospel of Jesus Christ, than the Word of God? It's not. And I'm not saying don't learn these other things or don't come to know these other things, but I would say don't come to know these other things at the expense of knowing Christ and Him crucified and His gospel and His way. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to be very cautious in using this text and be very clear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm using this text as a template. That is, there is a template that is given here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that I'm going to use and make application to what we're talking about today. The template here is set by love. And the point that is being made here in the context of spiritual gifts is how you can have these different spiritual gifts within the church back there in the first century when those spiritual gifts existed. They may have had those spiritual gifts, but if they didn't have love, then none of those things matter. The spiritual gifts were vain. They were useless. They didn't profit anything. And so I want to take that as just sort of a template and kind of go through here. Look at example in verse 1 of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Use the principle of that verse and apply it to knowledge. It may sound something like this. If I speak five different languages with the eloquence of a poet, but do not know the Lord, I am as a noisy gong, a clanging cymbal. It's vain. All that knowledge is vain, isn't it? If I can speak five languages, but I can't tell people the gospel in any single one of them, then I can't give people the most important, valuable thing, can I? Look at the next verse. Verse 2 is an example. "And if I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but do not have love, I am nothing." Use that template for this principle of knowledge. You may say something like, if I have the gift of savant, that's those people who are young and super genius and all that sort of thing, right? If I have the gift of savant to know math and physics and win a Nobel Prize in science, but I don't know the Lord, I'm nothing. Look at verse 3. "And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing." Use that as a template. If I give all of my wealth away, and I go live in the mountains like a monk and have all spirituality, and when I say spirituality, I'm talking about all these other spirituality, the religions of the world, right? But I don't know the Lord. I don't know the Lord. It profits me nothing. You can know every single religion in the world, but if you don't know Christianity, if you don't know the gospel, it's not going to profit you anything. And so as I speak to the adults here this morning, again, I encourage us all not to lose sight of that which is most valuable and most important in our lives, and that is knowing the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." If every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God is the knowledge of God from His Holy Scriptures, I know the point that Jesus is making there, bread alone would be physical bread. We don't live by bread alone, right? That's not going to provide us eternal life. But what if you take that bread to be the bread of the world, the knowledge of the world, right? Man doesn't live by the knowledge of the world alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You can have all the knowledge of the world you want, but it's not going to give you eternal life. It's not going to give you salvation. It's not going to give you the knowledge of God. You need every word that proceeds from His mouth to do that. And so may we be reminded to focus upon the Word of God. And the third group that I want to talk to this morning is the alien sinner. And that is any present who have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can spend the rest of your life focusing on different areas. You can focus on building wealth. I know people who do that. I mean, you talk to them and they know every money-making. You can talk to people who know everything about nutrition and fitness. And, you know, guys and gals walking around like Mr. and Mrs. Universe, right? Because they know all these things and they've dedicated their life to gaining that knowledge and putting that knowledge into practice. And you can tell just by the way they look, right? You can talk to people who excel in their fields of work. That is, people who are tops as far as engineers or doctors or CPAs, whatever the case may be. They're experts in their field. But if you have all of those earthly pursuits but do not know God, then in the end, what value is all of that? What good is any of that? There is nothing more important and valuable than knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Look in Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul speaks to this when he says, "For we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless." And so he's talking about all these other pursuits outside of Christ that he had, that he's saying, I've reached the max, I've reached the top in all of these other areas, I'm the best or the greatest in all of these different areas. But he says in verse 7, "But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ." And it's not just for the sake of the gospel or for the sake of serving Christ. I think when you look at verse 8, it says, "More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." And so that is, I have counted as lost for the sake of knowing Christ, knowing who the Lord is. And he says, "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him." Is that what you can say? That you consider all earthly things as rubbish in comparison to knowing Christ Jesus your Lord? All you have to do is look at your life and look at the decisions that you make and look at what you are dedicating your life to growing in and maturing in and knowing. And if Christ is not number one, then no, you haven't considered all things rubbish in order that you may know Christ. And so if you haven't obeyed the gospel, what is the world going to give you? At the end of the day, if you're the richest person in the room, so what? You're going to die just like the poorest person in the room. And you're going to take as much wealth with you as they do, which is none. If you are the smartest person in the room, that is, you have the most intellectual capacity of anybody else in the room, so what? What's that going to give you in life or afterlife? It's not going to give you anything. It profits nothing. If you are the top in your field, you are the number one expert in all the world in your field of work. Out of the over 7 billion people that inhabit this earth, there is nobody who is a greater expert in their field than you are. How many of you people feel that way? I know. Nobody does, right? But if you were, so what? In the end, what's it going to do for you? How's it going to help you? If you're the most famous person in the world. If you're the most beautiful or most handsome person in the world, in the end, what's it going to do for you? Nothing. But what will the gospel do for you? It'll do everything. In the end, that's what matters, is the gospel. Knowing that Jesus Christ gave up the glory of heaven and came to this earth and died for you. Died for your sin. That you could be freed from the bondage of slavery of sin, so that you could be free from the bondage of death and you could have life in Him. That you could confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He was deity. That He is deity. That He is Lord. And you can repent of making the devil your Lord and following after the ways of the world and being engaged in whatever evil deeds you may have done before. You can repent of that to follow the Lord and be baptized in the waters of salvation for the forgiveness of your sins, raised in the newness of life to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord, and to live each day to know Him and to know Him better, to draw closer to Him. In that is everything. Because it's beneficial, it's helpful, it's profitable, not just for now, not just for now, but for the life to come, for eternity. And that's the encouragement that is given in 2 Peter chapter 3 as we turn there. If you would turn there with me as we bring this lesson to a close. In 2 Peter chapter 3, I ask everyone, are you growing in your daily life in that which is most important and valuable? And that is the knowledge of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3, he warns here against those who mock the coming of the Lord. And he tells them to remember the days of Noah when people were mocking in the days of Noah. And then the rains came and the floods came, right? And he's using that to get us to stop and to think about where we are and what our relationship is with God and making sure that we know the Lord as we should. He says in verse 9, the Lord's not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God wants you to obey the gospel. The reason you have today, the reason that you have right now to obey the gospel, is not because the Lord isn't coming. It's not because the Lord is slow. It's because the Lord wants you to be saved. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to know His gospel. He wants you to commit your life as He committed His life to you. It says, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. There's a lot of people in the world who don't know this truth, but you read it this morning. The inspired Word of God telling you this truth and warning you of this day and this time. And He says in verse 11, since all things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? I'll tell you what kind of people you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be people who know the Lord. That's what kind of people. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on account of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord to be salvation, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you. As also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, lest, being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, those people who distort the gospel, those people who don't know the gospel, who don't teach it properly, you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the admonition, the closing admonition, the last letter that Peter is going to write, the last thing that Peter is going to say to brethren. is to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. People who have been Christians for decades, he's telling them, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do not lose sight of the most important and valuable thing in your life, knowing the Lord. This is the way. This is the only way. And so may we devote our lives to it and make it the first, the most important, the most valuable thing in our life. Studying the Word of God to know God. If you realize in your life you have forsaken that, you've given up the most valuable, knowing God, for the least valuable, knowing the world, then by God's grace, He's given you the opportunity to change that today. To repent today. To know this gospel of Christ and dedicate your life to it. And we offer the invitation at the end of our services to those who need the help and prayers of this congregation in obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's your need this morning, know that we are here to help you in knowledge and in love, to dedicate your life to that which is most important. If you need our help, we encourage you to make that known to us by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.